Hey guys, we got a great conversation coming up today with Kent Chevalier. He is the team chaplain of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's serving with Athletes in Action. Man, do we get deep in the weeds on what it means to deflect the glory, to walk worthy in the manner that Christ calls us to walk, to pray at the 50-yard line after each game. We have some really good dialogue here about living your life as a Christian, about what these athletes have to face, especially those players with the Steelers have to face each and every game, and why it's so important to deflect the glory. He's Kent Chevalier, Pittsburgh Steelers team chaplain. It's coming up in just a second. First, I want to tell you about the ministry that Kent serves with, Athletes in Action. They have hosted sports missionaries on college campuses, in pro locker rooms like the Steelers, and in countries all across the globe. And they're seeing influential athletes all over the world come to know Jesus. But there's one thing that they need. They need more Bibles. So here's the deal. For only $22 a month, you can provide three athletes with Bibles each and every month. You can sign up to provide these three Bibles with a monthly gift, $22. And you'll also, by the way, here's a really cool deal, especially around this holiday season. You will receive a free copy of our Increase 52-Week Sports Spectrum Devotional. It's a really cool book that you can go through each week, a devotional from athletes in the world of sports. You can get that for free with your $22 monthly gift to Athletes in Action to provide Bibles for these athletes. Here's how you can do it. Simply text SPORTS, the word SPORTS, S-P-O-R-T-S, to 71326 to help provide these Bibles to athletes today. Imagine how your gift could change someone's life. I mean, if you come to know Jesus, so many of us would think, yeah, okay, I got this walk with God, but we need a Bible to help us in our journey, to help us in discipleship, and some of these athletes have no access to them. So this is what Athletes in Action is doing. They're providing Bibles to these athletes. You can make the same difference. Text the word SPORTS to 71326, or you can visit the website athletesinaction.org/give/sportsspectrum. athletesinaction.org/give/sportsspectrum. Message and data rates may apply, and it's available to U.S. addresses only with Athletes in Action. Great to have Kent Chevalier back from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's their team chaplain. He also works with and serving with Athletes in Action. Mr. Chevalier, it's wonderful to see you, my friend. Welcome back to the show.
Jason, so good to be with you, man. Always a pleasure to be with you and hang out with you and talk sports and faith. Love it, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. It's good to see you, and I'm excited to chat with you while the season's still going on. Usually, a lot of these conversations take place when the season's over, but the season is still going on. The one thing I want to start with, three words, deflect the glory. Hey. And this is something that you post about. It's something that Alex Highsmith, who was on our show from the Steelers, their linebacker a month and a half ago or so, was on the show and talked a lot about it's deflecting the glory, deflecting the glory. Yeah. I see you post kind of that circle at the 50 when guys are praying together, but you're always using the words deflect the glory. So let's just start there. Deflect the glory.
Yes. So when I first became a chaplain in the league, it became super evident to me that, you know, there's personalities, there's, you know, that come with the NFL, and very quickly standing on those sidelines at the games, there is a weight that comes with these guys being worshiped by thousands. And if you're part of Steelers Nations, it's millions, yes. You know, and so there's this weight on these guys, the expectation, the, you know, the worship of the Steelers. And I realized very quickly, these guys aren't built for that, to handle that kind of pressure and weight of that glory, so to speak.
Yeah.
So one chapel, I began to pray through, God, like how do I share with these guys that they're not built for that? In fact, they're supposed to, you know, redirect it back to the one who gave them the skills and the abilities and the talents to be out there. And so this phrase, deflect the glory, became the title of that chapel talk. And ever since then, when I stand up in chapel and say, hey, tomorrow we're gonna, you guys are gonna take the field. And after the game, I want to invite you to the 50 with the other team, where we're all gonna come out as brothers. And we are going to deflect the glory that's been on you for the last 3 hours, because you're not built for it. And we're going to redirect it back to who it belongs to. His name is Jesus. And so that's where that phrase. And so I know that, there's a bit of like, aren't we supposed to reflect the glory? Well, that's where it kind of came from. Deflect that back to who it belongs to.
Did you see that initially coming in, like right away, you recognized, because you came in and Big Ben was still there, obviously, as quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. And talk about a guy who's, wherever he goes, especially in Pittsburgh, he's revered, and obviously the glory's coming on to him. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. But did you start to see that pretty quickly, not just with Ben, but with so many of these guys that they might be buying in, even the guys who are believers, right? Like they might be buying in a little bit to all of the guys, all of the fans patting them on the back and cheering them on, or in some cases, even booing them.
Yeah, absolutely. There was, I think, immediate, just growing up in Pittsburgh, there is a bit of a, it is a religion, to
Oh,
use
yeah.
that term. It is a religious experience for people to, for years and years and years, have been brought up in this way of the Steelers. And when you see these guys doing extremely well, there's this, nothing can ruin, our day. When they lose, man, it's like we're depressed. I'm not going to work today. It becomes this way of life very quickly when I became the chaplain. So I was a pastor in Pittsburgh for, man, 23 years before becoming the chaplain. It was something as a pastor that we had to talk a little bit about, idol. And anything that gets in between us and God and our worship of God and there. So I had already kind of sensed that. But man, when I stood on the sidelines and heard the people behind, screaming their names, saying, "You're awesome, we love you. Sing, can you sign this?" And it is a bit of they, if they're not careful, can become an idol for people. And so I saw it very quickly with, of course, Big Ben, incredible, what, 18 years in for one team, the Steelers, TJ Watt, these guys, I mean, the jerseys are worn, incredible men, but none of them are built for that weight of glory. And so, yeah, it was an incredible thing to kind of witness up close.
When you got there, what's really interesting too was it was the second year, I think, as you started to settle in when we had you on the show, and it was COVID football 2020. And I remember even you being able to do something with me on Zoom at that time, with your mask off, and you're like, we had to go into an area where it's okay to even take my mask off, because that was what it was in that year. Might be the weirdest and strangest year we've ever had, but the weirdest and strangest NFL season we had. What do you think? I'll ask it differently than maybe where you think I'm going. What do you think is the biggest difference between Kent, the team chaplain then, and the guy we're talking to today?
Well, so I mean, I'll talk professionally and then personally, on that. COVID, I had 1 year, 2019, that was a normal season. And that was actually a brutal season for the Steelers. They lost their wide receivers, coach at training camp. He died. And then, that year is when Ben Roethlisberger went down. So there was so much that went on in that in-person season. So I had that season to compare things to, but then right immediately in that off season of 2020, COVID hit. And then all of a sudden you're trying to do ministry with a mask on. I'm at certain points of the season, because of the NFL protocols, I'm not allowed into that facility because I'm an outsider. And the tiering system, and I didn't make the tier that would make it in. So I'm, yeah, you're right, doing chapels, Bible studies on Zoom, like everybody had to do. However, when you're preaching, I'm literally here. I'm preaching to blank screens.
Yeah,
And
people
dude,
hiding
I mean,
themselves, right? People hiding themselves out of the screen.
exactly. Because these guys, I mean, they're in hotel rooms. They're not even allowed to be near each other. So they have to be in a hotel room. And so their screen's off because they're laying in a hotel bed, you know? And I get it. But man, it's one of those like funny things where, hey man, if you want to receive Christ, just raise your hand on the, on Zoom. And like, I got saved so many times that season because I was the only person that I was seeing who raised my hand,
Yeah.
but like that was, I mean, talking with other pastors, other chaplains, man, that was, I don't want to say it was a throwaway year, but man, it was so hard to do anything ministry and move that meter forward. Now, as I look and here I am in the fifth season of being chaplain to the Steelers with Athletes in Action. Erica and I, that's my wife, we do this together. And so what we have said in this season is we're finally experiencing a momentum of trust, of vulnerability, of, because they're wondering who I am. Is this guy from Pittsburgh just here for an autograph? Like, is he trying to get close to us? Like, what's his motive?
Yeah.
And by saying for now 5 seasons, we're just here to serve you. And that's it. And we've been consistent with that message over and over, because they actually walked us through. There was an experience during COVID where my brother died from COVID,
Yeah.
and the organization rallied around us as a family. And that cemented for us and them, I think, a trust of we're all here for the right reasons. I'm here to serve you, Pastor Shepherd. Come alongside, no strings attached, and we're going to do life together, and use us in the services that Coach Tomlin wants us to provide, and we're actually safe people to do that, and we don't have a motivation outside of serving you, and so that's the difference that we're seeing in year five is. There's an actual trust in the words that are coming from our mouth that they're saying, we actually buy into that and we know that you're for us, not just for our platform, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You mentioned Coach Tomlin, who wants these services to happen. That was your word. So that must mean it's a really good relationship that you have, because I'm guessing some chaplains, the coaches might see it as just, okay, he's there, but like, don't get in the way of our business here. Sounds like Coach Tomlin has really embraced this, this idea of having a spiritual, entity, I guess, on the team.
And the Rooneys, their motto as a family is faith, family, football. That's who they are. The Rooneys are that. So the fact that Coach Tomlin invited Erica and me to be a part of this, and he's the one who introduced me to Athletes in Action. So way back in 2018, Vance McDonald begins to attend the ch church where I was pastor. He tells me they don't have a chaplain at the time. God had been messing with me as to my future, my position at the church. And one thing led to another as I was in a discipleship journey with Vance. And we kept praying for a chaplain. God, would you just bring a chaplain? And all of a sudden it began to dawn on me, like, I wonder if that's me, And so God began to initiate all of this. And when Coach Tomlin said this, kind of in our introduction, Vance introduced me to Coach Tomlin because they were looking for a chaplain. Here's what he said. He said, I'm looking for a local Pittsburgh couple to pastor this team. And so when he said that, I wasn't even thinking my wife as a part of it. I'm just thinking this is a new role for me. But when he said that, I was like, oh my goodness, we could get back to doing ministry together, which we've always done, but there was that portion where we had kids, and it was like, okay, Erica, I'll hold the babies while you go do ministry, here, and then you come home, you hold the babies, I'll go do ministry. And that's where we were for a while. So to come back together with the Steelers, are you kidding me? Like, to come alongside these young men and women, and shepherd them, pastor them, what a privilege. Oh my goodness.
And you talk about the women, like there's a real, and I'm saying this already knowing the answer, but for those listening who might not know, the spiritual component within a football team is just as important for the wives, the girlfriends, the significant others of the players and coaches as it is for the players and coaches. And that's where your wife comes in.
That's right. So Erica, the way that we kind of describe it is she's the chaplain to the ladies, I'm the chaplain to the guys. So she offers Bible studies for the players, wives or girlfriends, separate Bible study for the coaches' wives or girlfriends. She also offers for the front office wives, so like scouting wives. And she's amazing. She's got a capacity that I just don't have. She's also doing, Jason, you'll love this. So Steelers women who have moved on to different cities, different teams, they might not have a chaplain at that particular team. So Erica keeps in touch with them, and she's doing a group of former Steelers. It's just a beautiful thing for me to watch her thrive, because she says that she thrives in small group settings. And I'm like, you are so right, you do. And so she's just doing an incredible job meeting with these ladies one-on-one, when they want to meet up for coffee or breakfast. Erica is a true pastor to these women.
I love that. He is Kent Chevalier with the Pittsburgh Steelers, their team chaplain, serving with Athletes in Action. What's this year been like? What's the rhythm been like for you as a chaplain? What you've been teaching and going through in terms of Bible study and certainly chapel services. I know sometimes you speak and maybe you bring some guest speakers in, but what's it been like in the early part of the season, now that we're heading into the latter part of the season?
That's right. So we have a theme. I learned from one of the other chaplains, Johnny Shelton, Baltimore Ravens.
Sure.
I love that guy.
Me too.
He does a theme every year. He prays in the off season, God, what do you want to say to the men coming into this NFL season? So I started to do that. And this year's theme for the Steelers is walk worthy, Colossians 1:10. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. In Colossians 1:11, it goes on to say, here's what that looks like. So in chapel, in Bible studies, so I have every Friday morning Bible study with the coaches. Anybody can come. Right after that, Bible study with the players. Anybody's invited to come. The night before the game, we always have chapel, and this is the theme, to walk worthy. And we are just, because I feel like if I can hammer one theme all season long, they will remember one verse. And if I can get them to remember that one verse to become a lifestyle for them, to walk worthy, man, we're doing a solid thing. So yeah, I've had incredible guest speakers. Ben Watson, when we were in Atlanta, I invited him to come, and he killed it at chapel. I've had some great guests come in to the Steelers chapel. But man, it's been a privilege. What Erica and I are doing together is that we are studying, because Colossians 1:10 is the theme verse, walk worthy. But we are studying men and women of the Steelers organization who want to be a part of it. We're studying the letter of Colossians throughout the entire season. So we're about halfway through our study at this point.
What would you say the total amount of people that are participating in this? Obviously, this isn't about numbers, but I think just so people can get an idea when you talk about chapel attendance, when you talk about the Bible study, when you talk about the players, the coaches, and even some front office people, are we talking somewhere in the range of 40 to 50 or even more than that?
I'd say even more. So on a healthy, so I'll give you a snapshot. During training camp, we were averaging in Bible study, because Coach Tomlin wants Bible study every morning of training camp. And I was averaging like 30 dudes
Wow.
which was amazing.
Yeah.
You get into the regular season, that 30 number between coaches, because of the rosters and all that, at Chapel, probably 30 is a good number, give or take, depending on if it's a away game or a home game, because some guys want to go out to eat, all that stuff, because family and everything. But I would say between the whole everybody, I'd say we're in the 50, 60 range,
Wow.
men and women
Yeah.
who are participating with us on a regular basis. And we love it, man. What a privilege. We really can't keep up with it. So.
It'd be nice if they could give you some sort of I don't know, resources, say, hey, hire two or three more assistant chaplains to do these things. But it
That'd be awesome.
doesn't work like
That, and that's
that,
what,
right?
well, that's what some teams do, man, because of the, they might have a chaplain for the coach, the coaches, and they've got a chaplain for the players.
Yeah.
So, who knows, man, if we keep growing like this, we might need to entertain something like that.
But this is where the players come in. And you probably, I know Big Ben was probably one of those guys as a spiritual leader your first few years, but you have to identify one or two of these guys who have grown in their faith and mature in their faith and have their wife buy in too to be sort of spiritual leaders from a player's perspective, don't you?
That's right. Yeah. So I'll never forget the conversation when Ben was on his way out. And he came to me and he said, "So who should be the person that I ask to pray?" Like, and he was like, "Who do you see?" And immediately, the answer was Alex Highsmith, because he's been discipled incredibly well in college through Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Yes.
And so Alex and Alyssa have become really spiritual leaders on our team. Alex is extremely vocal about his faith, the work that he's doing in the community is faith-based. And so I said to Ben, "Alex is your guy." And so it was this moment where I got to see Ben kind of knight Alex as the spiritual leader, and everybody on the team would point to an Alex, along with some other guys that are in there, and I'll let them share that story. But Alex has been very vocal, even on Sports Spectrum,
Yeah.
that this is who he is. And I'm so glad Erica and I kind of, when we got the news that he signed the extension, we were so pumped, because what that means is more momentum for God's kingdom here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, I mean, not that we've been talking a lot of sports, but he's a pretty darn good player. And the
Oh
year
my
that he
goodness.
had last year, like he's a beast out there. And I'm not
Yeah.
saying your spiritual leaders always need to be your best players. That's certainly not the case. I'm sure you could point to many guys who maybe don't start or getting all the accolades. But when you get a Big
Sure.
Ben as your spiritual leader and obviously the quarterback, and you get a guy like Alex Highsmith, who's, what do you have, 15 sacks last year and gets that extension,
Yeah.
there comes a little bit more of even credibility for people to want to listen, I would imagine, if he does talk about his faith.
Right. Yeah, and in Pittsburgh, Alex already had that attention, because, guys, not to say that the pedigree doesn't matter, but in that locker room, everybody is on that team. And so if you're a guy like an Alex who's living out his faith, whether it's in the first year of his, NFL career, or now his, I think he's in his fourth, right?
Yeah.
People are, and now the nation, is noticing who Alex Highsmith is because of that monster year that year, which, by the way, I think he got completely snubbed in the Pro Bowl by
Yes.
not going. So now that he is who he is nationally, internationally, his voice for Jesus got a little louder, that megaphone got a little bigger. And here in Pittsburgh for the last few years, he's already been that guy. So now it's just the nation is noticing.
Yeah, we had a similar experience in conversation with Brock Purdy from the Niners last year,
Yeah.
who was a seventh round pick, Mr. Irrelevant, and just kind of trying to not mess anything up as a third stringer. And suddenly he's thrusted into this limelight of legendary quarterbacks before him on that
That's
team.
right.
And he has all this success. And this year, obviously, to start the year, he had a great beginning, and all eyes are on him, and I can imagine deflecting the glory would have to probably fall somewhere under the reins of what he's been trying to do as well. So it's really interesting the dynamics, because one week you could be a third stringer or a second stringer or even on a practice squad, and the week
Right.
after you might be starting, catching touchdowns, and suddenly your platform grows. So this deflect the glory thing, I don't know if that'll ever stop, right, Kent, in terms of
That's
the
right.
athletic world.
Because the spotlight, all that it does is magnify who you already are. And so Alex Highsmith, he is coming into the league as a disciple of Jesus who is hungry to grow in his faith and to help people come along with him. So he was already doing that as he came into the league. Now, man, that spotlight is much bigger and much brighter, and it's just magnifying the fact that Alex is who he is, a follower of Jesus with his wife, passionate about making a difference in this community for Jesus. And I'm just so excited to see where God's going to continue to take his platform as a result of him being obedient to following the character and the ways and the mission of Jesus.
One of the most public displays that you help lead as a chaplain with those players is that meet me at the 50, and that opportunity to pray at the 50-yard line after every game. You kind of alluded to it earlier, but can you kind of take us into that moment? Because it's chaos in a lot of ways when a game's over and players are trying to hug other players, coaches are hugging other coaches and, saying good game or whatever, and yet there's this underlying effect, I think, around the NFL, not just with Pittsburgh, certainly, that there's going to be a gathering at the 50, and whoever wants to pray can pray. And sometimes that gathering is, I've seen it with certain chaplains with two or three guys, and yet they're still giving God the glory. And I've seen it where there's 10, 20 guys, depending on, what teams are involved. But what's that entail, especially when you're home versus away? I think it's a little different maybe when you're home and away, but what's that entail for you, making sure that that moment is one that you can, be public with and let people know, okay, we're gonna give thanks here.
So for instance, if I go back to, because in the AFC North, there is a really strong bond between the chaplains. Johnny Shelton, Ravens, Robert at the Robert Brooks at the Browns, and then Vinny Ray at Cincinnati. I don't get to be with Vinny and Robert, but I get to be with Johnny at that 50. And there is something special that transacts between chaplains because you're looking at each other and you are in the trenches of ministry with these men. And you're looking at each other going, man, this is a moment for us to model brotherhood, and when I think about that moment, Johnny and I, that we get twice a year, home and away, it's this beautiful moment of brotherhood that I will often, like when they were in at the Ravens game in Pittsburgh, I will often use that moment as a moment of spiritual leadership for the guys that I'm discipling. And so it is a privilege to hold that position, if you will, to pray with your brothers from both teams and for you to be the one to lead that deflection of that glory back to Jesus. And for me, you see that chest kind of puff up in those guys to say, man, it's a privilege to be able to pray with these brothers in this moment. And so the other thing that I would say is that moment is very humbling. I would say especially for the fact that we're bending the knee before God, the creator of heaven and earth. Oh my goodness. That's humbling that we get to even have that conversation, that he would even want to talk with us in that moment. But the other thing that I think is really humbling is when a person loses a game and they come out to that circle, and as quote unquote a loser of the game, they come out and they humble themselves with their brothers and they recognize this is much bigger than a loss. This is much bigger than a win here. These are my brothers that I'm going to see at PAO. This is much bigger than that. This is Christ's kingdom being magnified. And sometimes the cameras catch it and sometimes they don't. I love when Len Vandenbos of the Bills, he always he must have people who travel all the time with because they catch that moment and he always posts, like I try to when I get it, he always posts to God be the glory, go Bills or Bills, whatever his hashtag is. And I love that because it shows a side of the NFL that really isn't seen on the national, international television. right? It's not broadcasted, but there is this moment where it encourages other Bible-believing followers of Jesus who are like, there they are. I see them. That, you know, and people get encouragement from seeing these heroes of theirs, you know. So you got young boys and young girls that are seeing that and going, I want to be that guy someday. And yes, I want to be excellent as a football player someday, but I also want to be the guy who takes the knee and prays before God after the game. So
I'm trying to think of the right way to ask this without sounding negative or whatever, but we get a lot of response sometimes from fans, I'll say it, on Sports Spectrum, who will see a picture that we'll share, you know, one that you share, one that Len shares of those guys, and they'll be like, well, why isn't player X in that photo? Is he too good to pray? Why isn't player Y? Can you just kind of calm our fans down a little bit, especially those who are believers? Because I think sometimes Christians can be even more judgmental than non-Christians because we raise these guys up to a pedestal. But not everybody can always pray. Stuff happens, you get pulled in different directions, post-game interviews, whatever it is. Can you just kind of calm everybody down a little bit when you don't see your favorite player who's a Christian in that, you know, 50-yard line
So
huddle?
two things really quickly. You know, we hadn't even talked about this that you were going to ask this, but like, you know, so imagine, you know, on the international stage and you're the star quarterback, man, you're pulled for all those interviews immediately. And you can't have time to pray at the, you know, 50. So that's one thing. But then imagine that you're a person and you haven't seen your really good friend since college. And it's been 6 years since you've been able to see them. And man, nothing is going to break in between the two of you catching up. You have 3 minutes before you're supposed to be back in that locker room, and you have an opportunity to say hi to your buddy from college. And man, I'm going to catch up with you for 3 minutes. That doesn't mean I'm not a strong Christian because I didn't take a knee at the 50 with the other guys. That just means I really wanted to see my friend. And that's great,
Thank
you
you.
know?
Yes, thank
Yeah.
you. Yeah.
So I think, yeah, as fans, we just need to calm down. I also think we really need to calm down with the narrative. Every time I post a picture like this isn't about, you know, oh, this is the way we should kneel. Come on.
Yes.
Like that, you know, we got to stop with that kind of stuff. Let these guys, because just be, I've got guys that I'm discipling that are followers of Jesus that can't make it into that circle. It's just not possible because they're high profile and they're getting the interviews like crazy. And so, anyway, yeah, I can get fired up about that.
So can I. I think part of the connection that you and I both have with these athletes is we get to know them on the human level. And listen, you and I both were fans before we were ever in the circles that we're in, right? Like you grew up in
That's right.
Pittsburgh as a diehard Steelers fan, and I've been a sports fan since I was 6 years old. But at the same time, when you meet these guys and you understand they're human, you know, I get questions a lot. Maybe you do too. Like, why is an X player, you know, why is he dropping a bad word on the field? Or why is this guy not, you know, in that 50-yard line huddle? Or why is this guy not representing Jesus the way I think he should be represented? And I start to think, like, my gosh, can you imagine if the microscope was on every single person who says they're a Christian and what that would look like each and every day in the muck and mire that we fall ourselves into? I mean, it would be pretty
Exactly.
ugly, right?
Oh, so I was recently in a meeting with a group of pastors. This is a part of my community where I get together with 13 pastors every month. And I am really struggling, Jason, with the ministry leader, the pastors, people who are influential Christian leaders within cities who are calling these players and these coaches out on their performance and saying, this guy needs to be fired. This guy needs to be sat down. Who, you know, and I'm just going, can you imagine if one of the Steelers showed up at your church and knew that you were saying these things about him? And what if he stood up in the middle of your sermon? in the middle of your ministry and began to point out everything that you are doing wrong, not just in that sermon,
yeah.
but like throughout your week of, you don't know how to counsel people. You don't know how to, I'm just going, if we just recognize that these men are, they're human.
They're just human. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a chapel speaker, a local guy here in Pittsburgh who I invited. I respect him so much. Jarrell Gilliam. He leads something called Light of Life Rescue Mission for homeless men, women, and children. Mm-hmm. And he came into our setting and the first words out of his mouth in chapel were this: don't let the praise of men go to your head and don't let their criticism go to your heart.
Wow.
So I mean, it was one of those mic drops moments where, dude, we can just close and say amen.
That's sermon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I wish that our fans, fans of teens.
Sure, of course.
Would be able to recognize that the words that are coming from our mouth as Christians are being a model for younger generations who are overhearing what it is that we are saying or what it is that we are typing. And we have created a culture of normality that it's okay to say this about these men, not even recognizing what that is doing to their families.
Hmm.
I mean, we've got to change that narrative in the Christian culture. We've got to lead the way on affirmation, encouragement,
yes.
You know, compliments, rather than tearing people down with our criticism of things that we don't even understand. We just want to be entertained. And so, man, you're getting me on my soapboxes here this morning, man.
Well, let me share a quick story with you. I'll say this. This took me 46 years of being a sports fan to understand. I've been a Christian since I was 27. I'm 50 now, so 23 years I've been a Christian. It took me 20 of the 23 years of being a believer to understand this, partially, I think, because I work in ministry now and I'm around these athletes and you see them as humans, as husbands, as dads, and you understand they're people. But
yeah.
I mean, I it's hard to put aside the 49 and a half years or 50 years of fandom that I've had for these teams. Mm-hmm. But I made a point. I remember posting, Kent, this is baseball, so it's not even in the football circles, thankfully, but it was baseball. And I've been a Mets fan since I was 12 years old, 10 years old, and love the New York Mets. And I always say I'm a suffering New York Mets fan because they haven't won anything since 1986. But very recently, maybe 2019, I think it was, or 2018, you know, they were showing promise, but they weren't living up to their potential. And something happened. And I posted on Twitter, just like 1,000 other fans probably did, here we go again with the Mets. Why can't they ever get their, you know, whatever, you know, their head out of their butts or whatever I said.
Right,
and I'm tired of rooting for this team, something like that. Right.
Yeah.
And I got a DM from a wife of a coach that I had known who was a coach on that team who said, you know, I'm watching you on Twitter. I know you love Jesus, but you really have to keep in mind what you're posting. And yeah. I said, well, what did I post? What did I post? Something that was, you know, obnoxious, or did I curse, or did I call out a specific player, which I try not to ever do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, even just putting how upset you are with the team, remember these people who play for that team are trying their best. It's not like they're trying to lose every game. It's not like
right.
they're not putting, you know, their blood, the sweat, the tears into doing the very best that they can. But you got to remember what that looks like. Some of these people's wives know who you are because of PAO or because of Sports Spectrum.
Right.
Just be mindful. And I tell you, Kent, it opened my eyes up so much to remembering even more. I think I had started to grasp it, but even more the human element of these people.
Yeah.
And listen, I still root for my teams. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I go crazy when my team wins, and I probably go crazier when my team loses. But I just keep that in my house as a fan.
Yeah.
And if I'm ever at a game because of a friendship or a relationship that I have with a player or a team, I just leave it at that. Like, I just, okay,
right.
I want those players to do well. I'll cheer them on. If they lose, that's okay. Get them next time. But it's just a different
right.
mindset. I wish that everybody who's a Christian could experience the way I experienced it and see these players in a different light.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just, I was there as well.
Yeah.
I remember saying something. So as a pastor, this is well before, the chaplaincy. I remember saying, because the rivalry between the Ravens and the Steelers is so long and I love it. It's beautiful.
Yes, it is.
And I remember saying something on social media about one of the players of the Ravens saying something nasty. And one of my church, I'm so thankful for her. She shot me on that social media. She replied, she goes, "I thought you were a pastor. How could you say something like this?" To which I was like, "Oh my goodness." So the same kind of realization. And I it, as we kind of have been talking today about, deflecting the glory and reflecting who it is that we're following, I wish that Christians would lead the way when it comes to our comments about our sports teams, because be a fan, absolutely.
Yes.
Go after it. You're passionate, do it. But let's reserve that criticism. And man, let's lead the way on what encouragement could look like. And if you like, I remember my mom saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say anything at all.
Yeah, Twitter is
Because
Twitter has thrown that
oh
out
man,
the window,
yeah,
unfortunately.
it's brutal. And I recently, like, this is recent, as in a couple weeks ago, I went through and scrubbed my social media based off of things that were being said about particular people on the Steelers team. And I'm just going, I can't, I'm picking up offenses for these guys.
Yeah.
And now I'm just sort of pushing pause, kind of posting and ghosting, if you will, because I don't want to read comments. I don't want to see what people are saying about the men and women that Erica and I have the privilege to shepherd. And so I don't want to carry that baggage into a conversation with them.
Yeah.
And we're encouraging them as well, stay off of all social media, especially during the season. Because one week they love you, the next week they hate you and they want you fired. It's just ridiculous.
The post and ghost thing is kind of a good idea. If you want to share some fun pictures from a game or even
Sure.
praise God and point to Christ or share a scripture verse, do it, but then just get off it. Don't look at what people are going to say because it'll just, like I said, it'll mess with your mind. It can mess with your heart.
That's right.
And especially when you're focusing on a season, but also trying to stay connected to Christ, that's the last thing I think you
That's
need
right.
anything from that. So let me ask you this last question for you. You've been very generous with your time. I want you to brag a little bit about Athletes in Action because it's one of our partners now with Sports Spectrum on this podcast, and they've helped you on this team chaplain journey for sure. In fact, you still are, I believe this, right? You're still responsible for raising your own funds for your ministry, which is basically what it is. The Steelers don't pay you, in essence. You're not a
That's
full-time
it.
employee with them. You're serving with Athletes in Action. But can you brag a little bit, maybe even explain to our audience why Athletes in Action has been so vital in the lives of so many athletes in helping you in this ministry?
So thank you, man. When we took this position, we didn't know that we weren't being hired by the Steelers. That when, and this is a part of Coach Tomlin's story, and he's been very public with this, that he came to Christ under the Athletes in Action ministry,
Yeah.
which is why he has such an affection to stay connected to Athletes in Action. And so when he invited us into this journey, he said, "I want to introduce you to Athletes in Action," which we were like, "Oh, we know what that means now. We have to raise." So Erica and I raise 100, percent support, and we raise 100% of our benefits and salary, ministry budget, all that stuff. But here's what I love about Athletes in Action, man. This is, to go to that deflect the glory. We want to see that every nation, every sports team has a follower of Jesus on it.
Yeah.
And that takes us, as missionaries, to go into places where there might not be a follower of Jesus. And so Crew, so that's our kind of our mother ministry, Campus Crusade for Christ, formerly known as Athletes in Action, is a ministry, a mission of Crew. And they've charged us in 2024 to go. Every person within Crew, within Athletes in Action, has to go to a different nation to be able to go on a mission trip and, you know, in our case, maybe bring some of the athletes with us to introduce other people to Jesus Christ. And I love that because I knew about Athletes in Action as a local pastor,
Sure.
but it's one of those things where, you know, Sunday's coming, my, you know, head is down on the ministry that God has given to me. And so now, you know, this parachurch missions organization that's going into really hard places. I just got an email that basically said, we need help going to 15 closed countries. They're closed to missionaries, they're closed to pastors, they're closed to all these things. However, they're open to sports. And so, would you consider going where nobody else can go because you have a ball in your hand
Wow.
and we're going to bring Jesus in the other? That's what I love about Athletes in Action. And man, in our current setting, to be able to do that in the city that we love for the team that I grew up cheering for, but now have this completely different perspective of shepherding these folks, introducing them to the one who, when the confetti falls, it's going to be swept up and it's going to go away. But man, we are all about trying to introduce them to Jesus, and he will never leave.
Yeah.
He will always be with us. That's what we're about. And so I just have the privilege of serving with some amazing people across the country, you know, who are part of Athletes in Action in the NFL.
Thank you for sharing all of that. Real quick, just a quick follow-up. Has it gotten a little easier? Easier is not the right word. I don't think God even wants us to be easy or comfortable, but have you settled in a way of doing this fundraising thing? Because that can be really I don't know. When you leave a full-time job and go to something that's not guaranteed, there can bring a lot of anxiety and worry. And how are we going to be able to do this, especially doing it with your wife? So it's not just your support, it's support with her too. Has that kind of settled in a good way?
Well, I'll say it this way, like it's in the rhythm. So, like, for instance, when we first started the journey, some amazing people they said, we'll make a 2-year commitment, you know, to helping you monthly, a 3-year commitment to help you annually, and all these things. So there is, you know, in the missions world, there is, you know, just this attrition
Yeah.
that takes place. You're familiar with this.
Oh,
So
yeah.
it's always in the back of your mind of, okay, come the off season, because during the season, there's no time to really spend thinking about ministry partner development, you know. So in the off season, we're doing those kind of things. But I'll just say this, Jason, because there was a conviction that God put on my heart to never ask anybody. Like, I'm not going to ask you for funds. It's
Sure.
just, you know, if people want to ask on our behalf, sweet. But here's what I know that God kind of whispered to my heart. Kent, just tell your story. And our story is absolutely crazy of how we got called into this. Like, it makes me emotional just even. Like, because I had to be convinced to make the jump from a full-time paycheck to a now full-time raising everything. God had to like convince us of this.
Yeah.
And the way that he did is it is miraculous. Like, I don't know how to say it any other way. Like, it was crazy. So I just tell that story. And because that's what God told me to do, just tell the story. And Jason, we've been blown away at how God has provided for me and my wife and our family. I got 3 daughters, man. I'm staring, you know, I got college, I got weddings
Yeah.
that, you know, I'm just going. And here's what we're watching God. You know, I think as men especially, we can get wrapped up in, I have to provide for my family. And that, I mean, I want to work hard, absolutely.
Course.
But I've been reminded that job description is already taken for my entire family. Provider is not me, it's God.
Yeah.
That's he already has that job, and he's going to provide for me and my family while I work hard with the calling that he has given to us. So while it's gotten easier in the sense of we built up a team who are monthly supporting, that attrition is a real thing that happens. And so we're still trusting God for everything that we've got, man. And he's blown us away every month. And even, I mean, God's just good. I'll just say it that way, man.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I love watching what he's doing through you, through Erica, and continuing to work through the Steelers and Athletes in Action. Just awesome stuff, Kent. Thanks for coming back on, buddy. This was fantastic. And I hope we can have more conversations like this. Maybe when we see each other, hopefully in Florida in the off season, at that
That's right.
PAO conference, we can get you and Johnny and a few guys, and we can just have a round table and just talk through the challenges of being a team chaplain and some of the
Love it.
benefits, and just see what God's been doing in everybody's life. So love to talk to you again. Thank you for being on the show, and always rooting for you, my friend.
Appreciate you, brother. Love Sports Spectrum. Keep going, man. Your work is so important. It is needed. And I love you, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you for allowing me to be on here today.
Thanks, man. Love you too. And many thanks to my friend Kent Chevalier for being here today on Sports Spectrum. We talked a lot about a lot of different things in this conversation, but it's one of my favorites that we've done this year. Certainly deflecting the glory, remembering Colossians 1:10 and walking worthy in the manner that Christ has called us to walk, what it's like to be an athlete in this world, this pro football world, praying at the 50. There was just so much good stuff there. And I hope you heard his words. Sports fans, let's relax a little bit. I love my sports teams too, but let's not get crazy when our team doesn't do so well, or when the Christian athlete doesn't act as Christian as you would like, or would hope to see. Just remember, there's usually a lot going on behind the scenes that so many of us don't know about. So again, thank you to Kent Chevalier, my friend from the Pittsburgh Steelers, joining us today on Sports Spectrum. Thank you to you as well. Remember, you can subscribe to our Sports Spectrum magazine, especially as you get closer to the holiday season and you're looking for a Christmas gift. Consider subscribing to our Sports Spectrum magazine. You can go to the website right now, sportsspectrum.com, click the magazine icon, and sign up for a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. It's faith-filled, it's family-friendly, it features athletes and coaches. Dude Perfect. Dude Perfect is on the cover of our newest Sports Spectrum magazine, perfect for the kids. You can subscribe right now at sportsspectrum.com and put in the code podcast15, podcast15, and you can save 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. Again, the website is sportsspectrum.com. We thank you for tuning in, for pressing play, and for listening to today's podcast. Consider telling someone about this show or posting about it on social media. Let them know that Sports Spectrum is here to serve you, the sports fan who loves Jesus, keeping Jesus in the sports conversation. Thanks for tuning in. We love you guys, and we'll see you next time right here on the Sports Spectrum podcast.